In the world right now, there is a conflict seemingly immune to diplomacy. I'm not talking about Syria, where high-level government ministers are powerless in the face of an enemy they can't even speak to. Climate change.
Le désert avance à grands pas.
The desert is advancing rapidly. The sand dunes shift, and they invade our agricultural lands. We lose about 104,000 hectares per year.
That's Adamu Chaifu, Niger's Minister of Environment. He seeks a compromise with a hostile environment that appears to want to swallow up his entire country. This is an excerpt from the National Geographic series Years of Living Dangerously. The Niger predicament makes the job of correspondent Tom Friedman far more challenging than his reporting on the diplomatic nuances in a conflicted world as veteran columnist for the New York Times. Friedman's first book, you may recall, From Beirut to Jerusalem, brilliantly illustrated the contrasts in the Middle East. But as a correspondent for this National Geographic program, Friedman journeyed from the Paris Summit on Climate Change to Africa's Sahel Desert and saw the uncompromising reality. Tom, welcome to The Takeaway.
Great being with you, John. Thank you.
Can the folks in Paris have an impact? Can our conversation here have an impact on what's going on in the Sahel? Because that's really what it's going to take.
Yeah, there's no question. We can. It's not going to be immediate. The situation there is so much farther gone than people realize. For instance, John, you know, what was the Paris Agreement about? It was about preventing at maximum a 2-degree rise in global average temperature since the Industrial Revolution. Senegal's already there. They're actually heading for 4 degrees. That will make these countries unlivable. And the trickle of migration you see now, and that trickle is no small trickle. We're talking about 9,000 to 10,000 a month coming from around West Africa into Libya, trying to get into Europe. It will turn into a flood.
So let's listen to part of the interaction that you captured in this documentary. This is a scene from Season 2, Episode 1 of Years of Living Dangerously.
What these guys are doing is wrong.
I mean, these are people who have been laid off by the extreme actions of the commissioners that are inside this building. They've eliminated these jobs and the jobs of thousands of other people across the state.
Now, that's a highly produced moment of people yearning for freedom and demanding freedom. Can they demand that freedom in this environment where environmental factors are out of control of traditional political institutions?
Well, you frame the question, I think, exactly right, John. Man forgives. Mother Nature doesn't forgive. She has no heart, no soul, and the forces that we as human beings have unleashed will require extraordinary human action and collaboration to tame. Now, you can say, well, what is this? You know, maybe it's for the far-off, distant future. You know, let me just remind our listeners of something. You know, Barack Obama, when he took over his second term, agreed with Republicans on a $600 billion tax hike, $60 billion over 10 years. The same week, that was the first week of Obama's second term, the House and Senate passed the cleanup of Superstorm Sandy. One storm, $60 billion. In other words, one storm ate the entire tax increment for that year.
Hmm.
Pleasure,
you know,
John.
People have admired your career and the way in which you shifted from a traditional journalist to really someone who tries to see deep within problems, deep within transformative dynamics in the earth, and not reduce them, but produce handy little islands for us to grasp onto. The world is flat is an example of that. And, you know, put the Friedman engine to work on this problem here. How are people in different parts of the world going to have handy anchors and hooks to grab onto to collectively deal with this kind of thing? I mean, that's the challenge that you've really embarked on here in this documentary.
You know, no question, John. People ask me why I went into journalism, and we all go into this business, you and I alike, for different reasons. And I went into it because I love being a translator from English to English. I like taking complex problems and trying to break them down so I can understand them and therefore others can understand them as well. And I think that, you know, the biggest image I could use as a takeaway from the documentary I did on human migration from Africa is that we're really seeing a new divide in the world emerge. It's the world, the main geopolitical divide is no longer east-west, north-south, communist, capitalist. Really, the main geopolitical divide now is going to be between the world of order and the world of disorder. And you're already seeing that take shape with the Mediterranean, now one of the main dividing lines. Because we've seen these refugees flowing out. Most people think they're from Syria and Iraq, and some are. But, John, close to 80% are actually from Africa. And they are, you go into these villages, as we show in the documentary, and they're basically no men between the ages 18 and 60. They have all left because climate change has reduced the ability of the land to produce food and jobs to sustain these men. And at the same time, their populations have exploded.
See, this is what's so exciting about talking to you here, because what you've just described there is one of those anchors. When we talk about immigration, we need to think of it as an environmental issue, not as some political issue. That's really the way in which we're going to reformulate. I mean, it's a Noah's Ark kind of thing that's happening.
There's just no question about it. And one of the problems you have, you know, if a Syrian is abused by their government and knocks on our door, that person has certain legal international rights as a political refugee. If an African who is abused by nature knocks on our door, by the way, natural forces, which in many ways we contributed to, he or she has no rights, because there's actually no international convention for migrant refugees, and yet they're going to be the biggest group cohort in the world.
You know, we could talk about this for hours, but we have to go. Does TV pack enough punch here to make the points that you want to make?
John, this is my second season with Years of Living Dangerously. I'm just incredibly proud to have been part of this project. It is among the most compelling journalism adventures I have been able to participate in my 40 years in the business. It's incredibly exciting. It's great TV, and it tells a hugely important story.
Tom Friedman is columnist for the New York Times, a correspondent for the National Geographic program Years of Living Dangerously. First episode of season 2 aired last night. His upcoming book is called Thank You for Being Late. Thanks so much, Tom.
Pleasure, John.
Thomas Friedman is a columnist for the New York Times and a correspondent for the National Geographic show Years of Living Dangerously. The first episode of season 2 aired last night, and Friedman's upcoming book is called Thank You for Being Late.